titles are nice. Welcome.
We're back.
Wait, what's the podcast called again?
I didn't give it a name.
It's the Mischiefs.
Oh, you forgot the name of
Mischiefs Network.
The Mischiefs Network.
Mischiefs Network.
It's been, how long has it been since we filmed something?
Maybe like a month. It's been a month.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
It feels so
a month.
Long. Everybody's been traveling and busy and
all over the world doing things.
We have a guest.
Our guest.
Mr. Brian. Introduce yourself, sir.
Hi, my name is Brian. I work with Miles at the Volkswagen Innovation and Engineering Center in Belmont.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's all they need to know.
This
That's
podcast is brought to you by Starbucks. Starbucks, your place to get caffeine. Which episode is this? Season two, episode two.
So I think that's episode number 9 total. But yeah, season 2, episode 2. That's how we're keeping track.
Cool.
Yes.
Any good viral moments since the last one?
Oh, he's been putting stuff up on like TikTok and Instagram.
So I had somebody, so this is perfect transition. I had somebody tell me about, well, I was telling somebody about using AI to generate clips.
Okay.
And there's like a couple of like places out there. And then I think the one that I chose was like Opus Clips or something like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I used it to create.
It's like an AI tool editing software.
Yeah. So you can put the whole 1 hour long podcast in there and it was much quicker at making like phone shaped reels than
really?
Me. Yes.
Wow.
I love it.
And so this is all just kind of a joke. We're not real people here talking.
It's we're
just
technically all AI. AI.
We're all robots.
Yeah.
Yes.
This
we're
is all AI
generated content from nothing.
Give me some industry people and one random marketing dude and make a podcast in Northern California.
Perfect.
And that's an hour long.
And this is what they came up with. Too bad AI couldn't do any better. But yeah, so I use that and it poops out some. I like it. I think it's
cool.
Great. Because the person I told was steering me away from it. And I was like, I think AI is mature enough to do this. And
that's amazing.
And I think it's great. It saves me a lot of time.
It's coming for our jobs.
It's not mature enough to generate images of cars yet. They're still a little
funky
messed
looking.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that's also, does AI have like built in, what's the word? Like you can't use my brand type stuff.
Oh, like copyright.
Yeah.
Controls?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
does AI have copyright
Toyota,
built
BMW?
In?
I feel like there's been ways that people have found as a workaround, like people have been recreating like Disney characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Using ChatGPT.
I mean, I know the big thing is like the Studio Ghibli like style.
Dude, I was using that. I was using that last week and everybody was like sending me texts like Studio Ghiblify me. I'm like, okay. And it would take a little bit. It would take like a minute to like render the image. Mm-hmm. But eventually at a point where I think everybody was using it that the network like stopped working.
Right.
Like they literally said the system is broken. Like stop doing this.
We did something like that recently with a team photo.
Okay.
I looked like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, which was mildly disturbing. But then it added a person.
It does do that. It will think that something is something else and then it will like...
Yeah.
It has a mind of its own, truly, truly.
When do you think... ChatGPT or some type of like AI will be used in cars. So as an example, I've got the new iPhone 16, right? It's got Apple Intelligence or whatever. So it uses ChatGPT for some certain features or whatever. Is that eventually going to go in the car?
Brian, you can answer that. I mean, because we know.
I mean, ChatGPT is already in like a lot of cars now.
Yeah.
When I say a lot of cars, I mean new cars like from Mercedes and from Volkswagen. So, like, you can actually say, like, hey, Volkswagen, or hey, Mercedes, and it'll actually use ChatGPT and to help generate the response. It's just that you have to phrase it in a way that, like, you know, that it'll use it. If you just say, like, get me directions to, like, Ralph's, it's not going to use ChatGPT to get you directions to Ralph's.
It's just, right. It's the same thing with, like, Google now. So, when you use Google, as we all do, it already gives you AI-generated results. And a lot of the car manufacturers use a Google-based search engine these days anyway, or something of that nature. So everybody's kind of already having
it.
Does BMW use it?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Find me the nearest BMW garage because my car is breaking down.
Why is my car leaking oil?
Right. Honestly, I feel like that's the way.
Nothing against BMW. Just don't flame us.
They're all leaking oil.
Yeah.
So I guess it will use that transition into our topic, which is cars, the media, automotive industry, YouTube, all of the big things.
Social
pretty
media.
Much how the car industry is evolving. Yeah. But specifically just to social media, as we are social media people. We're on a podcast right now.
Yep. I never thought of myself as a social media person.
You are now a social media person.
You're an influencer.
We are not to the level of, you know, maybe a supercar blondie, but
not yet.
But we don't need her either. But anyway, in any case, yes. I'm gonna put a question at the table. Mm-hmm. What was the first car YouTuber that really drew you in?
Great question.
First car YouTuber.
Yeah, oh my God. Like who? Like we're gonna stick with like personalities. Who drew you in? Like who was there? Who was the person for you?
Round table. I suggest Brian. You go first.
Yeah, you go first. You're
That's
new.
A hard one. I mean, car YouTuber.
You can give us a couple of names too.
Yeah,
that's putting me on the spot.
Or you can describe it for us.
So this is gonna be like a little bit more obscure one, but probably Micah Muzio from KBB.com.
Okay.
So
Kelly Blue Book.
Yeah, Kelly Blue Book. Okay. So like Kelly Blue Book, like I don't know, back in like the early 2000s, like they were putting out like YouTube videos and reviews about like cars and stuff, and it was kind of new. And it was like just fun to watch, like, you know, these normie car reviews, and like I'm not like a supercar person or like a performance car person, so like this really appealed to me, and I was like, you know, watching stuff like from Edmonds and like, you know, KBB, all like the very like
I remember stuff. The early Edmonds car videos, they're pretty simple.
Or you know what, like the Motor Week stuff. Love the Motor Week stuff.
Do they have some throwback?
They do.
Motor Week Rewind.
It's cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. That's cool. What about you, Jeremy? You seem like you already have somebody in mind.
So, I worked for a startup for a while. And as the startup was starting to fail and the writing was on the wall, I'd go hide in my office at like lunchtime.
And watch YouTube.
Close the door. And it was, you know, kind of the early days of YouTube. But there was this guy, Eric the Car Guy.
Eric the Car Guy.
You know Eric the Car Guy? Yeah, Eric the Car Guy.
He has like five elements.
Yes.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
He was a Honda Master Tech and had gotten fired from a dealership and had gone out and done this thing. And I just remember sitting in awe watching him replace the engine in a 2002 Dodge Ram in this dingy little dinky shop on jack stands and thinking, oh. And like, the beginnings of my love of DIY work kind of started with Eric the Car Guy.
I feel like a lot of YouTube in that era really started off with DIY versus this whole like, I'm going to go test out the brand new Aventador, blah, blah, blah. A lot of, I feel like very early YouTube was
and before DIY were, content. Were monetized and
it was very, monetized.
Had revenue streams to go, you know, like Tavares.
Yeah, I feel like it was like the Tom's Hardware, but like the video version of it, right?
Yeah.
Huh. My turn?
Do
you have anybody else besides Eric? He still posts videos,
He had to give up his big shop, and he was kind of gone for a while. And then he started doing shorts, and he's back doing videos again, I think out of his garage.
Still Honda Elements?
He's still got the Elements.
He loves Honda Elements, bro.
He just gives them away, which is kind of
serious. He just like buys them all messed up.
He went to like his, I don't know, his family. Like his daughter has one, I think, and his son has one, and like I think his brother-in-law also has one.
So what is a Honda Element?
I mean, Brian likes Honda Element.
Do you have an Element?
I actually drove here in an Element.
Elements are awesome.
Elements are amazing.
What chassis is it? What does it use? A beam? Like what motor does it use?
Sure. So the Honda Element, it was this thing released in like the early 2000s from Honda. Yeah. It's
like 2003, right?
Yeah, it was released in 2003. It came out like right after, I think, the second gen CRV. So they're basically the same thing. Yeah. But it has four seats. The interior is wipeable, but not like you can't like.
It's not Jeep rinseable.
Don't rinse it because there's the wires and stuff under there. There's a concept version called the Model X, which is kind of a
It's supposed to be like a beach.
Not to be confused.
With the current Model X. Yeah.
But
it's like a beach. It's supposed to be like a beach car, like California beach car. You put your surfboard in there.
Yeah.
And you like hose it down or whatever.
Does yours have the table in the back?
It does have the table in
the back. Oh, shit.
It's amazing.
Is it the rally style stick shift or is it an automatic?
No, it's just the automatic. Okay. So mine's like the less desirable one. It's two-wheel drive now. And then, like,
they made a four. So it is based on the CRV. So there are four wheel drive versions of it. Okay,
exactly.
Okay.
So
what motor does it use? D something?
No, it uses the K24. So like,
oh, what?
Yeah.
It uses a K24 motor.
So I just
had
it like the engine replaced because the engine had like a head gasket leak. Like they're just all over the place.
I just remember the Honda Elements that had like the little body kits on them, and they like
kits.
You know, like the fact it had like the factory like little wide body thing for the Honda Element,
like the plastic fenders.
No, it was like painted because normally they come with plastic fenders, but this one had like a painted like sporty version,
right?
Yeah.
So the SC, the stands for, but like it was like urban and like, you know, I don't know like what this. I mean, I guess this was like compete more with like Scion maybe.
Super Scion. Extreme.
Yeah. But this is like an SUV. It's a CRV. Like, why would it compete with a Scion? And like, I mean, the shape wise, it's the same.
It was definitely an XB in disguise.
Yeah.
It was very boxy.
Does yours have the sunroof in the back?
It does not. So it only comes on the all wheel drive version.
Oh. Okay.
Which is so you got the poverty spec. So
basically,
put the seats down and like lay down and camp in it and like lay up and see out the sunroof because the sunroof's at the back, not the front.
It was like the ultimate like California sunset car, right? Like you just like have two people in the back and like watch the sunset. And
That's what they told it as. Yeah.
All right.
Back to car YouTubers. I'll go next. So for me, I guess I got into like car YouTube in like the early stages of like the car reviewer. So it was Saab Kyle.
Oh, so my and God, then, Saab Kyle.
What happened?
Is he still out there?
Yeah. So
his videos don't get any views anymore.
But like he was like the he was like the inception.
And he had his formula of how
he was like Doug before Doug, and he was very in depth, and it was just really like. And he just blew up. He blew up really, really early on in like the car days of like YouTube.
Saab Kyle 04.
Yeah. It's really funny because like I feel like I watched him from like the. Because he started reviewing cars. I think his family owned like a dealership. Car dealership.
Yeah.
And he would like just review the cars there. And I would like watch like all of those videos. But then he started to get like bigger and he started going to other dealerships and meeting up with other YouTubers. And then I think I followed him like all the way to his journey because he was also in like pharmaceutical school.
Yes.
At the same time.
He like graduated.
Yeah, he graduated, you know, and I think like as a graduation gift, I think the most expensive car he ended up buying himself, he bought himself a like 2013 Viper. So like the last Viper.
Right.
Dude, that's
insane.
He was like an all American, like kind of like nerdy, like but cool, like kid. And like kind of grew up into like I think now he kind of does like some like the more garage project
he did,
like
he does
restoration
stuff with, like,
type
Datsuns
stuff
or something like that. Does he do like engine swaps or something?
I'm not sure, but I know like
is he a pharmacist? Is he a practicing?
I think he was in the beginning, but maybe not anymore.
He works for Walgreens or CVS. Or whatever.
But I don't know. But yeah, no, Saab Kyle, and then I really want to say it was like Saab Kyle. And then later on, you know, other people like Shmi and like the early days of the hype beast YouTubers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about regular car reviews?
Regular car reviews.
But I feel like he came a little bit later.
He wasn't
at the beginning stages of like
YouTube. I was a huge fan until like now. Now
it's too much.
It's too much.
It's just too ridiculous.
For me personally, because
he did it as a parody at first. Like,
but that's just.
But then it got kind of like.
But James,
overly.
That's just his personality. Like that's just how he is. Oh, that's just who he is, right? So now he's like very like doing like the short format that everybody's also kind of doing where like now it's like singular videos, giving us like kind of opinions on everything. But he's also like more like American like car type garagey like Saab Kyle kind of was as well. But no. He was really, really cool until we got to see his face.
He's associated with some some other people I follow that introduced me to the concept of sloppy mechanics. Which
sloppy
is going and getting mechanic. Like eBay turbos and hacking them on to whatever to generate as much power as you can.
I mean, from like a $100 turbo.
The kids,
kids will do this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shan turbo.
But so let's talk about Timu turbos because that's literally all YouTube is. It's like car build.
Didn't somebody get a body kit from Timu for like an A12 super fast or something like that?
I ain't heard about that one. Brian, have you heard about that
I've not heard about
that one. Yeah. Somebody ordered like an A12 super fast body kit. They had a wrecked A12 super fast. And they're like, well, to get it new from factory, one is impossible. And then two, they're not a certified Ferrari dealership or whatever, some random auto body shop. So they just went on Timu and like asked some Chinese factory, like, hey, build us a body kit. And they're like, okay. They wired them $30,000.
Yeah.
No, nobody's like radio silent for like 4 months. And they're like, shit, they took our money.
Gone.
And then all of a sudden it showed up in this huge cargo pallet or whatever. Like, okay. And it fit. Everything fit.
Chinese.
Dude is wild. Timu Qian. So wild. So crazy. Alibaba.
All of those.
Oh, you know, I bought knobs for our old Boxster off of Alibaba for like $4.99 because you know the paint peels off of
yeah.
But they weren't factory, but they thumbs
good
up.
Good enough.
I saw on the interweb somewhere you can buy like Toyota 86 chassis off of like in bulk. Is it Alibaba, Brian? Did we talk about this? We didn't. But I talked to somebody, and I was like, well, how? This is a whole business idea. Because hear me out.
Yeah. Do you waste stamp? So you have all the specs, and you just, like, shape? Like
yeah, no, they stamp? Literally, they're sending you, like, the unibody. And they're
sending you the body in white, basically.
Yeah.
Is it from Toyota, though?
No, it's just a remake.
It's just it's like a duplicate. It's like right. It's a dupe, basically. Jeez. As the so kids say.
I could be the rough of the Toyota 86. We could do it. It's a how business do you get proposition.
Revenue streams.
It have no VIN. Right.
It's a kid car.
It's a kid car.
It's a kid car.
That's easy.
So you could go to Atlanta, you could go to Georgia and get a VIN, right?
You can
Georgia,
register
they approve anything.
Well, no, you can register a kid car in almost any of the states except for this one.
Yo, this is like a 3D printing gun. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah, we're almost there.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
It's like it's like a blank car. You could do all kinds of
you
crazy
could.
Shit.
Exactly.
Anything could be a blank car, though. Like, if we're going to...
That's true.
Like,
yeah.
this is a blank car.
Right.
Sponsored by Starbucks.
But, right. Yeah. But to be honest, I mean, the kids, we already know how Initial D got the kids in love with the So talking about kids and being in love, so we know social media has caused the kids to fall in love with a very specific type of car community these days of the fastest, the loudest, or the crappiest and the most destroyed.
I feel like there's no in between. Like, you have to have either the crappiest slammed on not a static car or like the most, like your RX-7 quad turbo four wheel drive. You know, whatever beast machine that does everything. Like,
just say his name.
I'm not gonna say his name. What the hell is his name again?
You remember his name? Okay, so I also watched Rob Dom in the early days.
Because
Rob Dom is from Michigan. And I was like, oh, Michigan people. Also, Vehicle Virgins is from Michigan. I forget what his name was.
I liked it when Vehicle Virgins were like the, he was the getting duo.
Him and Eddie. Because they were both getting Eddie. Their Emmys at U of M.
Yeah.
I actually met them like one time before.
I met them once
on Gresham somewhere. At some
I met them once at I think it was like Supercars on Broadway.
Oh, okay,
like a I also saw them a long time ago.
North American International Auto Show.
Okay. So my YouTube thing was all the ripped versions of Top Gear. So all Top Gear, but it was on somebody uploaded them to YouTube.
Oh my!
So that was like my jam, like during college. That's
pirated information.
And you gotta watch them fast because they take them down. And
yeah.
Then like the next episode pops up.
Yeah.
Watch it
so like somebody would have to re-upload it and it'd be like some like Russian XXX333 or whatever, and then somebody would comment like, "Okay, it doesn't work here. Go here." So that was my kind of like...
The secret was to use Daily Motion.
Daily Motion. Yeah. What is Daily Motion?
Exactly. It's like one of those like weird fake YouTube websites, I guess.
Oh my God.
And, weird stuff would be
but
on
like,
there too.
But like you wouldn't have to like, you know, watch each part of Top Gear. It would be an entire episode of Top Gear.
The whole episode, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. So that was nice. So you didn't have to like click to the next part before like autoplay was a thing, so...
I would say from an influencer standpoint or like the true YouTuber that I followed was Adam LZ. Very early Adam LZ. So when he was doing BMX and skating videos.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was also like into cars too and started to get more into cars.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason why I sort of like started even following him more is because he got a divorce. And then he got like really into cars or whatever. Yeah.
Not you there for the drama.
I was there for the drama.
I love it when the YouTube algorithm like presents somebody new to you who is, you know, like I hope happens for us someday, right?
Yeah.
Where we're up and coming. Because like my favorite YouTubers, they get popular and then they start making money and then the things they're doing kind of gets out of reach.
That won't happen to us. That won't happen to us.
We probably won't get popular, but that's
There's
okay.
a kid in Norway... I don't know what his name is, but the channel is EMS Garage, and he is what Threaten of M539 Restorations was like 4 years ago.
Okay.
He's buying broken, you know, BMWs from the 2010s to up to 2020, and breathing new life into them and reselling them.
Yeah,
okay. You know, and it's I tend to love YouTube mechanic genre.
Jeremy likes the humble YouTuber.
I like the humble YouTuber.
The humble
YouTuber. Yeah. You're gonna go to Humble Mechanic.
Oh, that is a YouTuber. Yeah.
That is a YouTuber. Oh,
the, yeah, the Humble Mechanic. That guy's pretty great. Yeah.
But we, you know, humble.
Who's his beard kind of...
Who's the angry guy? Who's the angry
guy? Oh, Scotty Kilmer.
Yeah, Scott Kilmer. What is his deal?
No, I don't watch Scotty
Kilmer. What's his deal? He's got opinions. But he also has, like, really good opinions.
No,
like,
he doesn't.
No, are you sure?
Because I think to him, like, Toyota's the only car in the world that's worth buying.
No, he talks like some crazy... Like, he talked like, hey, if you want a cheap, fast car, it was like a Dodge... Like Charger V6, yeah, RT, because the V6 in it's pretty bulletproof. That should...
Hasn't he died like seven times?
He passed away, didn't he?
Oh,
like,
he passed away.
No, he didn't.
He didn't. He's still alive.
That's the problem. He keeps like putting up like, I'm dead again. And there's like,
not dead again.
Not that this channel is real big on fact checking, but maybe
please fact check that one.
No, but like, it's like, oh, I'm dead, and he's like, oh, I'm talking in third person about this other mechanic, and it's like, you know, it's all clickbait, obviously.
Clearly, Chris Fix is another who's kind of over the top.
Has he ever done a face reveal? Do we know what he looks like?
I don't think we know because every time he's been a guest on other people's YouTube channels, he has like a helmet on.
Okay, so he's keeping himself secret.
I think so, yeah.
That's fine.
But I think some people have like figured out who he is.
I'm sure. Yeah, I mean, of course. Sure. We have the internet.
Yeah.
In 2025.
The internet knows all.
And nobody is hidden. All
right, Scotty Comer's still around.
Okay, praise the Lord.
I would say the most prolific YouTube person that I started like from beginning to end is still Shmee.
Shmee! I like Shmee. Yeah, Tim Burton.
Yeah, Tim Burton.
What is Shmee? I've never heard of Shmee. I feel like I'm missing out.
The
algorithm has failed me.
So Shmee is a British YouTuber, and I'm pretty sure his family was rich.
Well, he says his family wasn't rich. He says his family wasn't rich and he wasn't like helped out or whatever, but he definitely was.
We don't know.
Like, how do you own a car in London? How do you own a car?
Not the bare basics.
How do you own a car in London with a parking spot, which is like being you're the queen of the UK. You know what I'm saying? Like how expensive that is.
This is like living in New York and you have a parking spot in New York.
And he had a Aston Martin V8 Vantage.
That wasn't the first car though.
Was the first car?
It was a Clio. His first car was a Clio. Oh, I think it was
like a Clio or like a Econobox Clio.
No, it was a cool
Clio. Hit the Google AI, Jeremy, and find out for us.
I think it was a cool Clio.
My phone is capturing us.
But his thing is just like...
I'm pretty sure it was a Clio.
When he talks about the V8 Vantage that he had, he says, I put everything I had in that car. Like he said, he borrowed a bunch of money to get it.
He may have. We don't know.
From his dad.
There was like some story that his parents owned like a big fashion brand or something. And they always did like... You know, whatever. Because he would always go on, like, hiatus because they would do, like, a yearly skiing trip, like, in the French Alps or something.
Yeah, Switzerland.
But it's really cheap to do that over there, so we don't know. I don't judge.
Shmee 150.
Yeah, Shmee 150. It just wants to take me to YouTube.
And then who's the guy? The Stradman.
Stradman.
Yeah.
Stradman is an example of...
He slept in his car, like starting out. Yeah. He slept in his Audi TT.
And
he like would work. He would like run up and down Rodeo Drive, like taking pictures of like Bugatti, like Veyrons and Murcielagos
and stuff. Let's talk about. We're not gonna talk about Stradman. We're just talking about people.
Okay.
There's different types of car YouTubers, right? We have wholesome mechanics. we have car reviewers.
We have entitled, opinionated mechanics.
Right. You know, we have like. The mega rich, you know, like, or not even mega, they may have started out poor, but they're rich now, and it's like the newest builds, the newest cars, the people. Then you also have like the hype chasers. And I wouldn't even call them hype chasers, let's call them hype men. We have people who have big personalities that are like meant for TV video, and they drag the kids in because they have so much energy. And Stradman is one of those people. Personally, I can't watch Stradman because He gives me anxiety. Don't get me wrong, y'all.
I take a value before watching a YouTube video.
Yes, like... It works for him. It has brought him so much success. And I'm almost sure that's just how he is as a person.
Yeah.
You know? But for me personally, I can't do it. I'm the problem. Like, that is too much. Like, the constant yelling and the constant going. It's just like you're trying to hold on.
Yeah.
But It works because the kids like that kind of stuff, you know, and especially, I don't know what it is, but car Ubers today, the kids like destruction. You know,
the Whistling Diesel.
And there's so many of them now. Like, there's so many Whistling Diesel type people out there now.
Hey guys,
and I'm like,
I just bought a new Ferrari.
You know what it is? Brian, and you probably agree with me.
What is it?
The Jackass people are now. They all now have cell phones.
Yes.
But everybody who liked Jackass personalities.
Yeah.
And now that they have like Jackass money.
Hello, my name is Johnny Knoxville. This is Jackass.
Right. And like all it is just a perpetuation of something.
Drive a Bugatti Chiron off a fucking cliff.
Because that's the thing. They weren't car people, so they didn't do car people stuff. But now it's just like car people doing Jackass stuff. And it's like essentially like all of the moms and dads watch Dukes of Hazzard with their children in the womb.
You got to hook them, you know?
Yeah. You do. And that's what it is. It's like, it's a big hook.
But Whistling Diesel is not funny like Jackass was. He's just kind of annoying, if I'm honest.
He has funny moments.
He has mad respect for thrashing the Cybertruck.
He has the he has the sarcastic, like quick punchline, stiff face kind of humor. That's his vibe, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the I'm actually gonna like hit you with like.
I feel like back in the day, actually breaking the law would like get you more views, but now because of like
Everybody's breaking the law.
The thing is about Whistling Diesel is
he does.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
So he does all the illegal stuff on his land.
You know what it is?
It's totally like legit.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And, like, I feel like back in the day, who was it? The guy that has the turbo Corvette. He made all the DVDs like way back in the day.
Super Speeders, Rob Ferretti. How do we forget about Rob Ferretti?
He was a Daily Motion guy.
So Rob Ferretti.
This was before YouTube. This Larry, like, he would be on Daily Motion.
He was it.
And Matt
like,
Farah. They all went to
Matt
high school
Farah,
together.
Yeah,
Larry Casella.
I didn't realize they all went to high school.
All these New Jersey guys, right?
Yeah.
They're all from New Jersey.
Oh my God. I wish.
I love watching Rob Ferretti.
Memory.
Rob, if you see this, I just want to be your friend. But
they were breaking the law.
No,
like they were doing cannonball
the
stuff
of him, like because
he would make like cop chase DVDs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And the law enforcement interaction videos. There was one.
People should have gone to jail.
There was one where him and Matt Farah like literally are
who could get a
ticket
faster.
And then one was driving the SLR and he was driving his Corvette.
Yeah, or Corvette. Yeah.
And he like literally drove like on the shoulder while he was getting pulled over. And
he didn't get in trouble.
He was like talking to the cop. He's like, I thought it was a good idea. In 2025, we could not do that.
Plead negligence.
But
yeah, he would have been.
Was Rob Ferretti the one who used... I forget the types of mats to like make doors on a Volvo that they built and drove somewhere.
What were you talking about?
This is some obscure YouTube video, and I thought it was Rob Ferretti, but maybe not. Keep going.
Anyway,
they tried to turn that whole thing into like a multimedia thing.
They did,
but
they
failed miserably.
Yeah, because I think the internet was catching on.
One series that they tried to do was. Everybody bring a car to race against Rob Ferretti's Turbo
Corvette. Remember
that.
Yeah.
And I think his Turbo Corvette just like smoked everybody because everybody else's car broke down.
Right. Kids couldn't build stuff back then. We didn't have 2-second BMWs back then. It wasn't popping yet. It wasn't popping.
No.
But
that's what I watch a lot of like drag racing videos. Like a lot of my early YouTube watching content was just like high speed, highway, like Houston, you know, like Texas 2K, but we're gonna do it on the streets in Houston. I'm like, yo,
those videos
crazy.
Can drag you in. So I'm the same way. I was watching all of the toge, like street drifting, late nights in Tokyo type stuff, or like literally just them up in the mountains, like day drifting. Like I literally would just go to YouTube in the early days of YouTube when it was still red and all that good stuff, and it was red and white, and I would literally type in drifting.
What's that show called again in Japan? Like something motoring?
I don't know. But
where they go head to head and do the toge. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
It's like my friends are going to kill me because they're like, Miles, you watch it all the time.
A league in Japan where they drift Dodge vans. Have you ever seen that?
Wait, what?
Dodge vans.
What? Right, I'm gonna
Google it.
They like, but while Jeremy's pulling that up, they do. YouTube has evolved into car media. Car people have evolved into
They're being invited. You know, they're like now part of like the whole media circus. Now.
Yeah. So like they automakers, everybody is now using these hype trains to promote and push brands and things like this.
The glorious madness of Japanese Dodge fan
racing. Oh wow!
Oh wow!
They got a little tiny little wheels on there.
It's actually wheel to wheel racing.
Oh, wow.
In Dodge
fans. I think I have seen this.
Like, real Dodge fans, not the Fiat Dodge fans.
So, I believe what just kind of happened is, I feel like these people were always doing these things. There were always these types of people, right?
Okay.
But as the cell phone matured, camera quality got better, the internet got faster.
Yeah, you didn't need, like, a video crew.
Right. Yeah. Now, anybody can post anything, and there's something for everybody. There is some genre for everybody. There's some podcast for everybody.
It really kind of democratized it.
True, yeah. Before, it was just the magazines, right?
Because they had all the... Yeah. Right, there was rules and regulations. Not anybody was writing for Motor Trend.
And the manufacturers would only invite certain people to drive the cars or take pictures of the cars or video of the cars.
But now we can hop on TikTok.
But now, with multiple revenue streams...
Are we talking about for automakers or...
No, for influencers. For YouTubers, influencers.
Yeah, because like if you're constantly getting paid by all of your sponsorships, everybody who's doing something for you, and then also getting invited to every press media release, like, you know, and it doesn't, I'm not going to say that it doesn't take much because it definitely takes consistency, but I feel like I'll hop on TikTok these days and there's a multitude of people who do this and they're getting press cars and they're seeing people and they're like hearing from
folks. I think the biggest influence is the aftermarket.
Yeah.
Like the SEMA, I think it was the SEMA show maybe a year or 2 years ago where Toyota was really pushing the Supra or was it Nissan with the new Z or whatever. But they were like giving cars to people so they could build cars for SEMA.
Yeah. And that's like another thing. Yeah.
That to me is like from a YouTube social media influencing perspective is how the industry has changed.
Yeah.
Right. Before it was just like, long time ago, it was like Chip Foose, right?
Foose
is going to make like the coolest hot rod and it's going to use Air Ride and Elder Brock headers. Like that was the thing. Mm-hmm. But now it's like shifted.
What was that show? No, not Pimp My Ride.
TLC or whatever. Or Discovery.
Are you talking
Channel?
About the actual like Chip Foose show?
No. It was like Hot Rod Show, wasn't it?
It was a show where they like stole people's cars and rebuilt them.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Chip Foose was involved in it.
You're asking me.
They would take the car.
No, I can see the show. So they would like fix it. And like the wife would be in on it. Whoever would be in on it would be like, come get the car. They're going to be out of town for however long.
It was like a Pimp My Ride concept, but it wasn't with X to the Z exhibit. It was with like,
oh my God. Hey, we're going to put a fish tank in your
throat. No fish tank.
Bring back a brand new ride.
Bring back fish tanks in the whip and 47 TV screens. Yeah. It's time, guys. It's time.
The best is like reading all the Reddit threads of like, I am the owner of the Toyota Sienna with the fish tank in it, and here's like
my horror story,
the trilogy of it. It's like it's leaked all over.
Ended up with one of them. It was one of the big
Tavares bought one. Of them.
Yeah.
Did he buy it from Hoovy after Hoovy?
I have no idea, Jeremy.
Probably.
I don't know.
I watched a podcast recently, Doug DeMuro, and I can't remember the guy's name. He's a financial like analyst guy, and they were talking about like the top YouTubers that are at risk of defaulting and going bankrupt.
Tavares was like number one.
Not defaulting.
Tyler Hoover.
Yeah, it was just buying too many cars and just losing money.
I would like to think
makes for great content.
It does.
But yeah,
I would like to think
financial solvency zero.
Well, we don't know how good they are with their finances. Because at least with me, or not with me, my way of thinking, right? You get big on YouTube. I've seen people who get big on YouTube and they're really smart about.
And you can't rely on the YouTube revenue,
right?
You know,
who's really good about this? The video game YouTubers. They have like degrees. They have things to fall back on. They invest their money in like other places,
stocks.
Yes, or the world.
Like, they have next to no overhead.
Exactly. You know, so they bank a lot of it. But
are YouTubers
doing that?
Or they start like meme coins or Bitcoin and then rug pull everybody.
Are there car YouTubers doing that? We don't know, but there are some out there. There are plenty of social media people who have started businesses, had businesses, were filming their own lives and, you know, they were content with it and just kind of blew up. You
Does YouTube like affect any of your stuff? Like from a VW
All
side?
I'm just kidding. I mean, in what way?
I don't know. Like in terms of like the technology in the car or like how the cars are laid out or even how the cars are like presented.
I mean,
It affects all of the automotive industry.
It's like it's wholesale, right? Like it's not just like one thing. It's like you get to see like, you know, trends. It's not just like one video. Like maybe sometimes it's one video, but generally you see like trends start to appear. It's like, oh, you know, maybe we shouldn't do this. Maybe we shouldn't do that. Like, you know, it's...
So it does influence your guys' work, right?
Okay. Well, yeah.
But to an extent,
it influences the whole car industry.
Like Subaru changed. They went from haptic feedback, like buttons, they went to like real buttons now.
That is Forester. Because everybody on the internet is a bully.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly BS, but
bullies.
Who would you say is the biggest bully YouTube? We'll start with
Reddit.
Who's the biggest one?
Biggest bully? You're making me like call out somebody, man.
Why not? Yeah.
I don't know.
Because I feel like they do, like, a few of these guys, band together.
I try not to, like, watch YouTube
certain manufacturers and stuff.
I don't either, because if they're talking too much junk, my little heart can't handle it.
It's like, what am I watching this for? Am I watching this to, like, you know, feel bad about a car?
I feel like most of the, I'm
trying to choose, like, you know, chase positivity. Like, what are the good things out there, right? Like, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm just trying to figure out how to fix my Mercedes.
Exactly. I need a DIY YouTube tutorial how to put...
Here's a Haggerty guy. What's his name?
Haggerty.
Oh,
yeah.
Jason?
Yeah, Jason Kamisa.
Yeah.
I feel like he hates on everybody.
No.
He does. Well, he's just a regular car guy.
No.
You ever talk to
him? He has extreme biases, right? He thinks the VW Scirocco is literally the best car ever made.
I've never driven one, so I can't say.
It's a complete piece of shit, by the way.
But he's got one that he's had since he was a teenager.
I don't care. It's a complete shit box. And some of these guys, they actually move like used car markets, right? Like you'll have Jason Kamisa talk about the
Doug DeMiro
is probably the most guilty.
He could
of this.
Him.
I gotta defend Jason because
the car YouTubers will shift the whole market.
Like the thing is, in person, he's nice. Yeah. Like I've talked to him before, like just in passing, like hey, Jason Kamisa. He's like hi, or
and
whatever.
He loves kicking tires.
But once you get him in front of the camera, once you start getting him going. It's the bias. There's just too much bias.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I expressed my bias at the beginning by saying I don't like Whistling Diesel because I think it's, you know.
Which is, like, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but when you start, like, manipulating used car markets, like, to me, that's, like, a big, kind of the big no.
But that's not their, but here's the thing. It's not their fault. And I can give you a really good example of this. Let's move from cars really quick. Let's talk about music. Beyonce. So,
so I thought this was a car podcast.
Yeah. So, but no, I'm gonna get
it
back.
Well,
we listen to car music in our cars. What, true.
But hear me out.
Big part of our cars, yeah.
Music. That's gonna be a whole nother episode. Is music in cars? Okay. Anyway,
Eastbound and Down.
Beyonce. So it's not that Beyonce has an opinion. Is that Beyonce? Well, no. Let me just say this. It's not that Beyonce's opinion is moving the world. It's Beyonce's fans taking on her opinion that is moving the world, right?
Okay.
And not necessarily that Beyonce may have a bad opinion, is that the interpretation of that amongst the masses has shifted a whole bunch of things. So back to car world and car YouTubers. Mm-hmm. So the reason none of us can get 240s from our grandmothers anymore is because of the internet. And everybody's like, oh, this is the best car ever made, and the Nissan will never make another rear wheel drive.
That can be applied
anything,
to all
right?
kinds of like, I'll give you a perfect example, very similar
and
to
now they
that.
All cost $30,000.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the initial, like the drift, you know, movement or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like the drift tax. You can't get a 240 or whatever. I think the perfect example of that on the really high end is like, Matt Farah drives an air-cooled 3.8, like a Singer car or whatever, and says, this is the best driving car, this best sounding car I've ever made. And then you've got like seven billionaires like, yeah, we want one.
Yeah.
And we don't care like how much we're going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just like, because a long time ago, like a Porsche 964 or even like a earlier like 70s Porsche was a complete piece of shit.
Right.
A complete rust bucket.
When
but
the
then
long
this, like,
started to go up.
Yeah. But the thing
mid-size is... The mid-size was like, nobody wanted those.
And that's what I'm saying is like, a lot of these like influencer like...
Yeah.
Like, I would say not even sort of like tastemaker like personalities, like the Chris Harris's of the world of like, oh, the 6-speed in this is so wonderful. And oh, it revs to 9,000 RPM. Like, bro, like... Nobody can afford this, but it shoots. But the problem is, it shoots up the value
of everything.
Of everything else.
Everything
and
then
it's
becomes
just,
expensive.
Nowadays, it's completely unattainable. Perfect example. I've always wanted a Porsche 991.2 GT3 Touring. They used to be anywhere between $130,000-$150,000, depending on the options on the car. Now, you cannot get a Porsche 991.2 manual Touring for less than like $200,000.
I think that's just Porsche tax too.
No,
but it's the hype, man. It's the hype people.
Even the Porsche tax is out of control.
Well, it's all because of the hype people. It's because crazy.
If I sold my base model Carrera, I could not afford to buy another.
A Murcielago with a manual in it. Oh my God, it's such a unicorn. And people are doing swaps to it. And now people are buying swapped Murcielagos, like six-speed Murcielagos for like $1 million. Like, what? Have people lost their minds?
Yes.
Like, what's going on? Yeah, it's wild.
Your grandma in her garage.
Yeah, in her garage.
Are Honda Element people like this, by the way?
Honda Element, like, has Honda Elements, unfortunately.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a supply and demand thing. So as time marches on and we all get older and
crashed.
Yeah, so like there are fewer and fewer in nice condition, and as that happens, like, you know, prices go up. So like my car used to be worth like maybe $3,000, now it's worth like $5,000.
Because there aren't as many left, and it's just time.
But that's still like a 20% move. You know what I'm saying?
But
like,
yes, the internet,
man, it's money.
The internet does move this.
I can't buy a Mitsubishi UQ8 anymore.
At the bottom of its depreciation cycle, you know, some influencer is going to lift up and buy it.
That's what I'm saying.
It's what I've done.
Okay, guys, here we go. We're going to start doing insider trading, and we won't go to jail like Martha Stewart did. So this is what we do. We pick a car.
Next modern classic is the Mercedes W140.
Let's consider
calling it now.
The Mercedes.
But then we gotta all go buy them first.
I've already got mine.
That's why I'm such a piece of shit. No.
Then we hype it up. But you know what? That doesn't always work. And one car that I want to point out that didn't work for was the Maserati MC20. Brilliant car.
That car's a complete piece of crap.
There's quality issues that might have...
Oh, my God. There's quality issues with old 911. Somehow, Jeremy, they still cost $1 million, don't they? Didn't we just say every 964 is rusted out?
Not everyone, but...
Almost everyone. What
nobody's going to tell you that every single air-cooled Porsche leaks. They all leak.
And they all need head work.
What do they still pay $1 million for, Jeremy, and your cool Porsche? But they all leak.
They all leak, yeah. What car is like a sleeper car that is somewhat attainable that we could all like hype up and say, man, you know, I mean, it's got so much potential.
Modern?
Modern. BRZ, the Kia Forte?
BRZ. BRZ.
BRZ.
Or GT86 /
The kids already like that.
Yeah.
Huh?
But I'm saying pre-2000.
When the kids grow up
and they don't like it anymore,
those numbers start to dwindle, the values of those will go up.
They already have.
I mean, it's you look at
the Hyundai Tiburon.
Oh my goodness.
Actually, the Tibby.
I wanted a Tiburon so bad.
I was going to say the Veloster.
The Veloster, yeah.
The Veloster in.
It's just like a weird looking Elantra.
But 20 years from now, we're going to look back and be like, everybody should have bought
the accent, though.
The little.
Is it? That's worse.
No, but you can't lie to me. The Tiburon.
In Europe,
the last generation Eclipse. While they're still cheap, guys. I don't even. First of all, I'm hyping this car up and I've never driven one.
The Eclipse Cross?
No, not that. Not that one. I don't know. I need to go drive one. I should just buy one. I should just go buy an Eclipse.
Can I have an
opinion and need some help? This is kind of like way off topic.
Yeah.
Okay, so a friend of mine, their car got rear-ended. The car is a 2011 Honda Civic, whatever, ELX. It's just a shitbox. with 120,000 miles on it. What should you do? Option one, call your insurance, figure out a way to get it fixed. Continue to drive the car. Option two.
It's totaled, but.
Option, yeah. The trunk won't open.
It's totaled. They're going to total that car.
Option two.
In the U.S. Somewhere else they might, but not here.
Trade whatever it is and get a new car, but the car can only be worth sub 15 grand.
That's fine.
Option three, lease something.
Well, all right. So wait, put it in reverse for a minute. The people that rear-ended them, were they not insured? Or?
The person that got rear-ended was not at fault. The other person did have insurance.
Yeah.
So now they're going back. Like, the insurance companies are going to go back.
So it's going to get paid for.
Total it out. I would personally, if I were...
I'm going to wait till it gets totaled out. If we're
in the market for, like, an EV or a plug-in hybrid or something, I would totally lease it because the technology is advancing too fast to buy some.
It depends on what
and
kind of
I speak
person
from
they are, too.
Honda experience Element? Because we
should they get a Honda
they
Element?
Should not get a Honda Element. So,
so what can you get for like sub 15K, four doors, not an SUV, automatic, preferred petrol or ICE.
Another Civic.
You're just like talking about like a normie person car, basically.
Yeah, yeah, another like Civic.
A Hyundai Sonata?
A Hyundai anything. A Kia Forte. Anything. Kia Forte. A Toyota Kia anything.
Toyota Corolla.
I would just say Toyota Corolla.
Think about it. Right.
It's like dead simple. There's nothing to learn.
A Camry.
But like, they're soulless.
That's the point.
But you don't need. But Jeremy, they don't need anything.
Can I just comment that every single Prius out on the 101 today here in Northern California. Mm-hmm. What is it with them and front bumpers that are like halfway ripped off? Like,
is it because every it's too front? Is it because way. It's too far front and they can't judge? Because
people are used to SUVs now, and like, you know, you go over the little like concrete divider.
Oh, that's what it is.
But it's every just low enough. Prius.
Yeah. You're right. It's Civics. Just low enough where like when
it's
you
just ripping the bumper off.
Right.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and like, you know, they're
don't pull up so like, close.
Like these, you know, these clips that are made out of plastic that break super easily. So like, you know, it's not even held in by
clips. It's held in by like paper clips.
Hopes and dreams.
It's held like on a by winning combination.
And it's dreams. Definitely not built well, like a Honda element. Like
it's the highest percentage of.
Is it just the Priuses?
I think you could spend what was the amount? 11 grand, 10 grand, something like that.
15 grand is 15 like 15
grand or less. If you just want a daily commuter. And you gotta pay cash for it. You could get something, I think, with a lot more soul or you know
something,
fun than a
there was like a Corolla, Kia Forte Turbo whatever 4 line that had some for like 17 something grand. Like that.
And they work. Just
right, back to the
back on topic.
Yeah, sorry.
So
thank you for that.
Yeah, automotive YouTube and social media has done a number on the car market, and now we can't buy
in terms of
cars.
prices
features, you know, we can all attest to this. Tablets and cars are because of the internet, and people think that they want something but they don't actually want it, and they're like, where are my buttons? And then I challenge you, where are the buttons on your iPad? Does your iPad have dedicated buttons? I didn't think so. Do you complain That's about true. That no
I think, like, just the expectations are not in line because, like, the way that, like, I'm seeing most, like, car companies do, like, tablets in cars, it's, like, you see a tablet in the car and you expect it to work like an iPad or you expect it to work like a phone, but it doesn't. You have to do, like, all these weird motions. You have to tap and hold. And it's, like, why do I have to learn all these new ways of interacting with it?
So,
right? Like, the expectations are not being, like, they're not meeting up with, like, what consumers
You're not training the consumer, basically, right?
Yes. But we talked about this. So, the problem with cars today and the way the car market is kind of going with like all of this technology in cars is and all of these influence from the young children is they
damn children
those darn
the
kids.
Stupid children
as if I'm not a child myself. Anyway,
what comes after Gen Z?
Gen Alpha yeah.
They're in college now, by the way.
They are in college now. My brother is in college. His second
Dude,
year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Stop.
We're getting old. Anyway, so what happened
for yourself?
I know. What happened to cars? So cars are going the route of the cell phone when the iPhone first came out and Android popped on the scene. So what is happening is that the cars are getting these faster processors. They're trying to do the tablet thing and they're trying to follow after the cell phone, but they're still stuck in the early like cell phone phases where every cell phone cell phone maker had a lot of bloat and a lot of like how the Samsung skin is laid over Android, right? So like all of these car makers are laying their skin on top of an Android OS now. Most cars are using Android OS.
They're mostly like going in that direction. But, like, remember, like, you know, in the early days of iPhone versus like everyone else. Like,
right.
I'm going to throw out something very like vintage. LG Voyage. Does anyone remember that thing?
The LG Voyage.
What was it?
Exactly. Because this was like, it also came out like right after the iPhone, and like, because people on Verizon couldn't get it, and it was like, oh, this is going to be an iPhone killer. It has a keyboard, it has all these features, and nobody remembers it. You guys don't remember it.
Did it have like 9 cameras on it?
No, it didn't. Oh. It's like,
it wasn't a Nokia. Yeah.
So it's just like, we're in this weird phase where like things have to start homogenizing, or otherwise they're going to die off.
Right. Like, so what's probably going to happen is the cars will become like iPhones, and everything will be very simple, and they will all use the exact same system.
That's depressing.
Well, it's the same, but it's the same thing that's happening to the car YouTubers and the entire auto market.
All becoming the same.
But everything is becoming one big soup of LCL.
That's true, but how much of that is YouTuber influence and how much of it is just the progression of technology?
It's the progression of technology.
And really, how much influence did Tesla have on all of this, you know, from the get-go?
Quite a lot.
Weren't they the first with a massive tablet?
They were one of the first, but it wasn't just that it was a massive tablet. It was an easy-to-use massive tablet.
Yeah. They were the iPhone
right. So like, 4. They had to, like, you know, do all these steps to get to this point to be market leader in, you know, infotainment or whatever. Yeah. Like, that's debatable, whatever. But, like, they generally are setting the pace for the market, right?
Yeah.
In terms of how you interact with it and, like, how other designs should follow. And that's sort of, like, where Apple is today, right? Like, you see Apple do this one change and then everyone follows suit.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't, I mean, you don't see ASUS doing that, right? Like, they don't do this one change and just, everyone follows
suit. I think it's the nature of, like, how Apple, I think specifically Tesla, like, organizationally, how it's set up. Where in Apple, the people that basically make the major decisions are the designers.
Right.
UX and designers. And the engineers basically have to, like, work around what their concept is and try to make it work.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's true or not, but when Elon Musk took over Tesla, Tesla is not, or Elon Musk is not the original founder of Tesla, by the way.
Right. Very true.
Fun fact. But when he
people don't know that?
No, they don't. They don't. Think a lot of people don't says he's that. Like, people don't I know that. Started Tesla. He didn't start Tesla. He was an investor, a very small investor, actually.
Everybody
and
should,
he wasn't getting
that,
his car.
That
yeah.
should be fact number one. Elon Musk is not Tesla.
Isn't your Lucid person?
So Peter...
Peter was like a main powertrain, right?
Peter Rawlinson, I think, was the chief engineer on Model S.
Yeah, Model S, yeah. There's a lot of like different legends.
Not even pre-Model S. We could go back to Tesla Roadster. Elon wasn't around back then.
My dad and I test drove a Tesla Roadster, like in
the electric Elise.
What it feel? Did it feel like a go kart?
Oh yeah, and we laughed our asses off the whole time. We had so much fun in that thing. Just you know,
but going back to the Tesla thing is, I think from a UX like using that tablet, the people that designed that whole system weren't automotive people.
No,
they were just like
true
regular like. Tech product people or whatever.
Right.
Right. They were very scrappy and like, you know,
super scrappy.
In the early days of the Model S, like you'll see like a lot of complaints about, you know, early Model S's that they, oh, like my screen is melting up because like, you know, it's, they use like non-automotive components because that was all they had.
Yeah.
But now today you have suppliers that actually make automotive grade, you know, displays and whatever.
Always running, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, always, but see like, you have to like have like this one person set the pace and then like, then
everybody will follow
suit.
Right.
And then you can start buying like whatever. Otherwise you're going to be like stuck making it yourself.
When do you think that, that next jump is going to happen? That's is that happening really already now, say. Or is it?
Well, what is the next jump
exactly?
What will it be like? The when is the next jump?
Cars? No,
no. I'm talking. No, Toyota Mirai, the hydrogen car.
Mirai. No,
they got one. They got one for sale at Lexus Saramonte for $14,000. You want to go get one?
I'd rather not.
Do you know how much hydrogen is per liter?
I saw a Hyundai Nexo for sale, like a 2021 Nexo with whatever mileage. Who cares? $5,000,
just like Nissan Leafs are $1,000.
Because where do you put hydrogen in it? There's actually a station right by my house, but it's like
I thought they shut them all.
The
down.
Only one.
No, there's like a few left.
There's
over.
A few,
but like there's also like if you think EV charging bad is like you know hydrogen charging is worse.
Yeah,
hydrogen refilling. One and it explodes, and then two, it's also ultra expensive now.
Yeah,
but where do okay? Like going back, like what is the jump? Is it a technological jump? Is it a battery capacity jump? Will the cars get so cheap? Like,
I think there's multiple jumps.
Okay. There's a lot of different things that are going to happen.
Depends on what aspect.
Or is it the BYD, like the VinFast or the BYDs of the world, where they're like they're just so cheap.
So let's
maybe
transition.
VinFast, no.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we can take a look at what's happening in China, right?
Right.
So in the last few years, we've seen like basically prices start collapsing because of the price wars.
Mm-hmm.
And so like you know, ID3s that used to cost like $30,000 there now cost like $15,000 or $14,000.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. I didn't know that.
Because that I think was a big jump, and now like you have all these like everything has to move down market, and like you still be feature packed, and margins are like razor slim. Like if they're not even sold at a loss, like they're just trying to survive. Because if you can't survive, you're not going to be in that market.
And right.
At the end of the day, it's like do you want to be there or do you want to pull out?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's a very hard decision to make.
Yeah.
So.
And I think you know even just relating this to like our early topic of like YouTubers and how media has changed and how cars have changed. I think everybody is really just trying to ride a certain wave and keep up with one another. You know, even when it comes to producing a vehicle, because as we can see, how many of your favorite German automakers now have a panoramic display in them across the whole dash, including your American ones. That is quite the curve. Just like how many YouTubers are now all destroying cars because we think it's fun. Or everybody who's doing a rebuild on some Copart Ferrari, you know?
It's a lot of like one-upmanship, right?
Yeah, and everybody's how can I one-up the next person? How can I do it? I mean, you know, it's even like us with our little podcast, but you know, anyway.
But eventually, like, something's got to give, right?
Yeah.
Something's going to break.
The economy collapses.
I mean, dude, there's stuff on the boat that's they're sending it back. Like, they're not, like, Trump's going to ruin Christmas for everybody.
I'm almost sure he is, but I mean, we're on a 90-day hold right now, right?
I'm not keeping up.
I'm not keeping up either. I clearly,
from a supply chain standpoint, for people that have to deal with supply chains, it's gotten very, again, going back to 2016, it's gotten very complicated.
Yes. I will say I'm taking advantage of it right now because my wife said, look, if you've got any projects on any of your cars you need to do, go buy the car parts now. So I put in an order.
Oh, there you go.
I'm launching Project Reseal on the Mercedes.
Project Reseal?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love it.
Because, you know, it drips transmission fluid on the exhaust from the top and it drips oil and power steering fluid on it from the front. So every time you get out of it, it's like...
Smells.
I'm carrying a fire extinguisher in the center console now just for good measure.
But I want to fix
it. Me, it's not a race car, guys. It just could explode.
No, yeah, it just...
It was a nice day, Jeremy. You could have drove the drop top or something. Or the 911.
Wait, how's the Boxer?
I drove the 911.
Oh, you did drive 911. I thought you drove the Mercedes.
Did you have a problem with the Boxer?
Yeah, the Boxster has this weird thing in the oil temp display.
Right.
It kind of goes wild. It goes up and down. But I've run my scan, plugged my scan tool into it. The oil temps are drop dead fine. Like, when you start the car and it's 60 degrees outside and the coolant temp is like 60 degrees, but the oil temp is 302, you know that's implausible.
Mm-hmm.
Something is wrong.
Mm.
But it's not the sensor. I've replaced the sensor.
Mm-hmm.
It's something else, and I haven't figured it out. I need ChatGPT. That's what
I
need.
Yeah. We talked about the ChatGPT reading the
diagnostic readout to tell them exactly what it needed to do.
The BMW, yeah.
Hey.
I'm going to try that.
Technology.
Try that.
I would do it. Technology. But he paid for the good ChatGPT to do that.
The premium.
The perm. But yeah. Influence on cars. What do we want to see happen to the car market? What's the next big jump that we
want
to see happen?
991.2 Porsche GT3 Touring manuals to come down by at least $50,000.
But what would that take?
Probably to your point, the economy imploding, right?
Or a car YouTuber saying that they're actually crappy cars.
That too, or like they have a seal issue, like crank hub seal issue.
Yeah. So now we come
after like 30,000 miles. Bearing. That's what we need to do. IMS bearing.
Spread rumors and disinformation.
Guys, I just found
out that
the 991.2 GT3 Touring, specifically the 6-speed GT3 Touring, has an IMS bearing issue, and Porsche refuses to do anything about it. The car needs to get recalled. It's horrible. Sell your car right now.
My name is Bennett, and I ain't in it. but no, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take some whirlwind of something, people falling out of love with Porsches, which I don't forever see that happening. 996s
are still relatively affordable.
Here's the miracle. Automakers start making cool, cheap sports cars again that everybody enjoys.
I don't think they ever will.
Which,
we're screwed.
Unless the YouTubers and the Reddit people bully them to death.
We still have
I don't think it's going to happen.
We still have the Toyota 86, right?
So if you really think about
what
it,
we have.
We're
what
not
we
like,
have left.
I got you. So affordable is relative these days because cars are just expensive. But I'm just going to list what's fun that isn't a 911.
Yeah.
So we have the 86 and the BRZ.
Yeah.
We have the Civic Type R, the Integra Type S, and the SI versions of both of those cars.
Those are fun.
So front-wheel drive, all-wheel drive stuff. Golf R and GTI both still exist.
No, they're not that fun anymore.
They're still pretty fun.
It's peppy. We're relative.
Let me break out the Jason Kamisa. No, guys. Like, it's all flat screens. It's too heavy now.
Miata still exists. And it's convertible and hardtop form.
Evora doesn't count. It's too expensive.
Toyota Supra. And automatic and manual. BMW Z4. And automatic and manual. The 400Z or Nissan Z. Automatic and manual, which those are not affected by the tariffs at all. And apparently they're not a good car. I don't know. I drove.
The Z?
Yeah, I drove one.
Driven one.
I drove one recently.
I don't know. I haven't, but they're basically repackaged 370Zs. They have the exact same door card.
Yeah, so it's
are
a.
You serious?
Oh, yeah. Seriously? It's pretty much a manual.
That's a sign of the problem. Times at Nissan. They listen to the enthusiasts. They've always done that. That's the problem. Because enthusiasts are like, oh, don't change anything. Like, you know, keep all the stuff that we want. And they did exactly that. And now look where we're at.
And look at that. The enthusiasts didn't want the car.
Apparently, I read the other day. It's outselling the Supra.
Yes, like, because there's so many incentives on it.
Yeah,
because
it's really cheap. I went and looked at one.
How much can you get?
Yeah, how much are they?
Can you get one for like 25 grand?
No, but you could
buy one right now.
You could go get one for 38.
But see, that was like the argument before. It's like, you know, why would I pay for the Z when I get a Supra for the same price? Now, you know, it's reversed. You've made the price for the Z lower.
Yeah, because the Z makes more power. Mm-hmm. It has one more turbo and a more reliable engine relative.
Then the B58, really?
It's a twin turbo Nissan V6. When have you heard of one of those blowing up? There's enough Q50s out there shooting flames to tell you that it's just fine.
Reminds me of the four door sports car from the Maxima.
The Maxima, like
late 80s.
How many hot girls out there, teenage women, black and white, do you see mobbing the heck?
And Latina.
And the chismosas. How many of them do you see out there? In Nissan Altimas, you know who I'm talking about.
No, not Altimas. Altimas are Maximas.
See,
like, but Maximas. But wait, let me break it down, Jeremy.
Back in the day,
Altimas go down to 880 with their without their blinker.
But you had to have money. But you had to have money to have a Maxima. Maximas wasn't. They wasn't what they were now. Back in the day, you had to have.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, you had to have the funds to have a nice Maxima.
But this was all about the Nissan V6 that was so robust.
The VQ, wasn't it?
Have y'all ever heard? Yeah. I ain't never heard of a Maxima blowing up. Okay, but Maximas don't have VQs, do they?
Do they? I thought they did.
Maybe they do. I don't know. See,
that was like the whole point of a Maxima.
I'm just looking at Z's right now.
But anyway, Altimas, indestructible. I don't know what those girls do to those Altimas, but
they're
indestructible.
That's what's coming back. That's what's going to make the biggest comeback is an Altima.
You saw Altima?
Yeah.
We're all going to be driving
but
them.
But they're all going to be mint. Like, they're all going to be perfect.
No, they're not. They're all going to be smoked out, stolen, beat to death.
Front bumper partially ripped off, like all the Priuses on the 101.
Right? You know what's going to be hot later?
One owner, it's going to go across Barrett Jackson. It's going to have 2,000 miles on it. It's going to sell for 50 grand.
You know what that's going to be?
It's going to sell for fucking 50. I shit you not.
It's going to be
$50,000.
It's going to be the Nissan Altima. It's going to be everybody who had a Nissan Altima coupe and it was in red. Everybody who had one of those and they did not dog it.
Oh, that's a hot car.
Yeah, remember that?
You were the baddest girl in high school if you had a red Nissan Altima coupe.
Yeah, your dad was rich.
Rich, okay. That, or if you had a Jetta.
All right, what else for...
I think Jetta was...
Okay, so reliable, quick, fun, minis. All of the two-door minis.
No. Reliable?
Yes.
The new ones are fairly reliable.
James saw my Mini Cooper. My Mini Cooper was modded to all, you know, ungodliness and... It never blew up. It had a JB4.
There we know.
I had downpipes. No, it never did. Mm-hmm. I bought it 40,000 miles, drove it all the way to 120. Engine never hesitated. I misshifted it. Probably had like 100 over revs. Nothing.
Dude, there's 1,300 Nissan Zs for sale.
You should buy one.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my God.
I think the kids don't like it because they said the manual has rev hang. I didn't notice that, but every BMW has rev hang. Back to reliable and fun. The new what else is out there?
Toyota Corolla,
the GR Corolla. GR.
If you can get one,
I wish they sold the Yaris, the GR Yaris.
Yes,
two door.
Yeah,
yes, that was cool. A nice.
That's
car.
That's kind of a neat looking car. I'm not a Toyota fan.
Do they
I know.
Sell the Fiat.
The Abarth.
Abarth doesn't really exist anymore.
No, Fiat is kind of like a...
I mean, they sell one car. It's the 500E.
That's it. They got absorbed into the mess that is Stellantis.
The Chrysler 200 with the 6-speed.
That is not a fun car. A 6-speed what? Manual?
Yeah, that's a Jason Kamisa car.
The Chrysler 200
Jason
did not
car.
Come in a...
He's like, oh my God, guys. You know what's a great car to...
Jeremy,
or
hit
maybe
the internet.
Doug DeMiro.
The Chrysler 200 did not come in a manual.
Yeah, they had a manual.
Are you talking about the Misfire? Or, I'm sorry, the Crossfire?
No. Chrysler 200.
Like the sedan thing?
Yeah.
the event.
First of all, let's start with nobody
else. It was outside. Either Jason Kamisa or Doug DeMuro. It's like, guys, you know what's a great car?
If it sounds like that, it was Doug DeMuro.
Probably Doug. DeMuro.
But also, nobody outside of Detroit. The East Coast, Detroit,
yes,
has seen a Chrysler 200.
Basically.
Have you, you say that to a Bay Area-er, and they're going to be like,
what everything is that? That's coming up what is a Chrysler 200 owner's manual. Maybe I should type manual transmission, not just manual.
Yeah.
Owner's manual.
Come on, Google AI. You can do it.
I want another.
My sister had a 200 and my IT. They both had 200.
The Chrysler 200, this is AI, Google AI. The Chrysler 200 was never offered with a manual transmission in its production lifespan. Yeah. All 200 models.
See, James, over here falsifying information.
That's what I'm saying.
Trying to get us in trouble.
A 6-speed or a 9-speed transmission.
People did not like ZFs.
Yeah, they were like ZFs. Yeah. But nobody liked them.
Because, like,
when the car started getting more gears than we have fingers on our hands, it was.
Hey, there's a Chrysler 200 forum. Am I the only one who wishes the 200 came with a manual transmission?
If you wanted a manual Chrysler 200, you should have bought a Caliber SRT4. Thank you very much.
The manual mode works fine for what this is, a mid-priced family sedan.
Oh, it had the little slapstick, you know, Chrysler thing. Yeah.
How old is that? That's crazy. That's
like that dates back old. To like...
No, they've been doing that.
To the 90s.
Since the 90s, because you could...
The LH platform.
Yep. Because it was really funny, my auntie, she had like a early 2000s, the first Chrysler 300. She had a Chrysler 300M.
Wait.
Chrysler 300M special.
Not the first Chrysler. Maybe the first Chrysler 300 of the modern era.
Oh, the modern era. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for helping me, Jeremy. I'm very young. But of modern Chrysler 300s, before they became Mercedes, that one also had the just random, you could slap manual automatic manual in 2000. Yeah. You know?
Well, but that started in the 90s.
Wow. Yeah. See, GM was on it. I mean, Chrysler was on it. I'm from
Daimler
Detroit.
Benz Chrysler.
That was before
that was FCA. Before the merger.
That was way. Let's just say Chrysler has changed hands.
What's going to happen now? Are they bankrupt? Or
no.
Are
they
getting bailed out again? Or what?
That's GM.
Like years, like a set amount of time.
And also, GM is making a lot of money right now.
If you don't turn around, you're not killing them.
Because the Wagoneer is not getting good, like, JD Power reviews at all. Like, none of the.
I love the Wagoneer.
It really doesn't need to.
None of them are getting good.
What's wrong with it, Brian?
No, it really doesn't need to because, like, they're basically just rental cars. If rental fleets are buying them, it's fine.
Well, not even that, but suburban moms, they ain't watching JD Power.
Yeah.
Mom, can I fit six? They hit up the other moms. Hey.
And they're cheap, too.
Girl, can I put six chairs in this with the stroller and the basket in the back?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I just say?
Oh, yeah. Mom's ruined the car market.
The IQ, it's not big enough on the inside to do that. It's like suburban sized, like Escalade sized on the outside, but Escalade IQ on the inside. Sorry. Uh-huh. Clarification. Cadillac Escalade IQ. Very, very large on the outside. It ain't holding like six strollers.
We don't have the long one yet.
It doesn't really need to.
It doesn't need to. It's a different car.
Because the IQ is more of like
the luxury.
Escalade IQ is more of like an airport car. You're just transporting people to and from the airport.
It's an
Uber
Black. Yeah, it is an Uber Black. Can I get my $150,000 Uber Black?
If you're like putting like strollers and like junk in the back, like you're probably buying like a you know a GMT 800.
Did you open the trunk?
Hell yeah.
So
it does have a nice front.
If the third row,
it's narrow, but it's very deep.
Right. If the third row is down, then you have plenty of space in there. Because like I'm not using the third row when I'm transporting executives from the airport.
Yeah.
What if you have more executives?
Then you better hope they only packed a briefcase.
You wouldn't be transporting executives from the airport in an Escalade IQ, anyways. Wouldn't you be doing it in like an Atlas or something?
No.
We own many brands for that. No, we don't use Urus's either.
We
pick them up in the Lamborghini Rebelto.
No, we
all right, there's going to be another car you put your freaking bags in. We're just going to pick you up in the Lambo.
We just use...
I don't know. Like, we just had like the
Q7s.
Drive.
We use,
and that was like a whole thing.
Just use Q7s.
Yeah, we use Q7s.
Q7s.
Yeah. What did I say? Q8?
Same thing.
Yeah. But,
same thing.
But less storage space.
Less. Much less. Less headroom, too.
Fair.
But yeah. Cars and car people... And bullies on the internet.
They are. I mean, dude, they just
The
bullies are just doing the internet. Though, right? Like it's for content, it's for the algorithm, do it
right.
For the algorithm.
But how many before we end, how many car auto manufacturers are just doing stuff for content? You know, how many gimmicks are in cars just for content?
How many? All, everything BYD.
How many? Right. The so car that's, can jump so over potholes. This is something that me and Brian have talked about. Is like the current automotive industry
that
is being.
That might actually be really useful though on the 880s.
But you know who did it first? Ford with the Fusion. They There's had party they tricks. Had like the pothole detection. I don't think they did it first, but they were like really mainstream with it. Because I remember when the Ford Fusion Sport of like the new like. Catfish looking for Fusion first came
Lexus
out.
Lexus does it.
Too. It had pothole detection, and it would like
Mercedes as well.
But anyway, the Chinese market and the Asian market has huge influence on a lot of our markets, especially for brands that are mainly and primarily over there, including General Motors, because they have a big presence over there as well. To have all of these gimmicky things in cars, so now my car needs to have electronic door handles where the door handle either pops out or like presses, or it needs to do this fancy thing, or it needs to crab walk, or it needs to have these screens, or it needs to have like YouTube integrated, because China is such a large country and a large market and a large influence. Yeah. You know, it's the name of the game to keep them happy, and we just kind of have to deal with all the extra. And the Americans like some of the gimmicky stuff, but
like the Tesla, the X, like you can make it dance with the Falcon.
Right,
doors, like,
you know, people like party tricks to an extent, but the real car people just want the car to drive nice and feel right.
You can set the screen in a Tesla too to like holiday themes, right, and change the cars next to you. And
I like a little gimmick and stuff. You know, I like my Audis to project the Audi logo through the headlights when I pull up to it. I like that. You know, I like a little dance, you know, some drama, you know. Yeah,
but the Nissan Altima's got a little porthole where you can stick your gun out of it. shoot other people.
Is that where
anybody the side mirror used to be?
Yeah.
No, see, that's what they were made the Nissan Maxima Skytop when they had the vertical sunroofs.
Yeah.
They were fixed though. I don't
built,
think they were
built, fixed, yeah. Built for RPGs. Anyway.
That was fun.
Yeah. So, name of the game, I think I'm going to just title this episode Under the Influence.
Yeah.
I like it.
No, the real title of the episode is Porsche 911.2 GT3 Touring has an IMS bearing issue that hasn't been found yet.
No one should buy one.
Yeah, and they should
all back so we can go purchase them.
At 7,000 miles, it all goes bad from there.
So. Well, guys, it's been The Mischiefs. I hope you had fun.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Brian.
We're going to do it more.
We're going to have you back. You're going to come back?
Yeah. You're going to come back? Yeah.
I'll think about it.
Bring some sponsors. Bring
next
some more
thing
startups.
You know, we'll have like everyone here. All right, guys.
That's The Mischiefs.
Bye.
See ya.